This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's Authentic Persuasion live training session. This is session number 40. My name is Jason Cutter, if you couldn't tell from the stream that's happening. Welcome to everyone tuning in directly through the Zoom webinar link, basically virtual front row. Welcome. And also welcome to people who are streaming, watching it live, maybe the replay on LinkedIn, on the Facebook Cutter Consulting Group page, as well as YouTube. Welcome, everybody. I have Heather in the house on my side from in the Zoom webinar. So if you post any questions, if you make any comments or anything like that, she's gathering things up and she'll message them to me. Would love to hear people who are here. Hit the thumbs up, hit the like button, leave a comment, say hello, say where you're coming from. I am doing another session of Q&A. Last week on session 39, I did a Q&A session and some really good questions. And of course, I always set myself up with a bunch of questions to answer and then hardly get through all of them because my mode and my style is more in-depth, not just surfacey answers and getting you on your way. I really want to help you. It's part of my mission. I like to start off some of these episodes just kind of recapping that. Why would I do this? Why would I do this content, put this out there, give this away for free, is to help facilitate transformation. That's really why I do everything that I do. I feel called to help people in many different ways. And in my mission statement, one is to enable and encourage those light bulb moments, right? When you hear something, you learn something, you read something, you figure something out, you apply it, and it works, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's what I've been missing, or that's going to help me achieve more, or what I want, or what I'm looking to get better at, or to solve, or pain to get away from. I love enabling and encouraging those light bulb moments. That's why I love hearing people from the podcasts I do, the training I do, the things that I put out there on the internet, and the emails, the messages, the direct messages, the comments that I get, just helps me know that it's landing, right? It's something valuable for somebody out there. And it just helps keep going, putting this out there. The second thing is, as a lifelong underdog in my own head, and sometimes out in the world, I love helping underdogs win their game, not the game, not other people's game, but what they're trying to be successful at. In sales, a lot of people are underdogs. A lot of people feel like underdogs, especially if you don't put yourself in the category of being a natural born salesperson, which I've debated and argued on other podcasts, on my own training sessions, on these sessions in the past, that there is no natural born salesperson. But if you feel like you don't know if you should be in sales, you don't know why you're in sales, you ended up in sales thinking you could make lots of money, like somebody you know is doing, and you try it and it's just not you, I want to help you. If you want to be succeed, if you have the five sales success traits that I outlined in Selling with Authentic Persuasion, the book, or you're willing to work on improving them, then you can be successful at sales. You can make yourself into a sales professional. And I, of course, want to help you as a guide in any way that I can, which is why I do this. And then third, biggest thing for me, I love leaving people better than I found them, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's in these training sessions, whether it's in content that I do, meetings that I have, wherever I go, I like to just do that because that's what I think we should all do. If we all focus on leaving people better than we found them, then just imagine what the world would be like. And then, of course, really what I'm focused on when it comes to sales is helping people sell in a way that helps them make more money, close more deals, do it in a way that feels authentic, a way that actually helps customers move forward with what they want and what they're looking to get. And then ultimately all of us working together to change the way sales is done and thus change the perception of sales in the minds of all of us as customers, of consumers. Sales generally has a gross, dirty, manipulative kind of connotation to it. And of course, that is because of the people who are doing sales in a way that only benefits them. And then the rest of us are suffering as customers. And I want us all to band together and change that. So that's why I do these sessions. Last week, session 39, if you didn't check it out, make sure you can check out the replay on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, also the podcast stream, The Authentic Persuasion Show. I replay these episodes every Monday, so you can find them on there. And season 6 has been a blast. Lots of great episodes, 5 days a week. Make sure to subscribe everywhere you get your podcast. But last week I answered two big questions. I'm having trouble getting personal information like payment, credit card number, social security number, things like that. And I used to be good at it. What changed? So you had it, you lost it. What could be different? Check that out. If you face that scenario or you have a team where some of your reps may face that scenario, might be some good tips in there. And then the second question I answered was my company just raised the prices of our service. I'm not sure people want to sign up. What should I do? That faces a lot of people, and not just in inflationary periods, not just when the economy is changing and companies need to raise their price, but at times companies just raise their price because they can. And then the salespeople have to be able to sell that effectively or else. And so check out that if you face that kind of scenario, whether it comes to changing the price or changing anything. And again, for managers, leaders, business owners out there, you have to change things constantly, right? The way to succeed and win in business is to adapt, to change. The word from 2020 was pivot. That's what you've got to constantly do. And you're constantly facing the challenge of getting your team to pivot as well and adapt to change. One thing I used to do when hiring salespeople is I made two guarantees. One is that you'll always be busy. And then the second one is that change is a constant, not just to change for change's sake, but because we're always adapting, evolving, and trying to get better. And so it's about having a team be successful at that. So that's the questions from last week. Let's dive into this. This is session number 40. Super excited to go through these questions. All right. Question number one, should I try to sell via email or text? I get this kind of question in various forms from various people, or I just observe people trying to sell via email and text and trying to do everything they can to not be on the phone with somebody or in a meeting or trying to get somebody to move forward via email and text instead of having conversations. Should you try to sell that way? Well, it depends. And that's a very small depends. It's not even a big one, you know, capital letters. It depends. If your product or service is so easy, you can sell it via email and text, most likely it's a commodity. And most likely it's at a price point that doesn't really matter. And if so, then do it. But also understand that if the company is really effective at that, they'll probably get to the point where they realize they don't need salespeople. They can do that via automation. They can do that with outsourced call centers that are, you know, contact centers that are emailing and texting, and they don't really need you. So if you actually get really good at just doing that, be aware that then what's the point of having you as a salesperson? Fundamentally, though, here's the thing. People who need help making a decision, which means they're looking for guidance, they're looking for wisdom, they're looking for a professional to help them make the right choice, right? Choice A, choice B, no decision, right? Because sometimes doing nothing is the best thing for someone to do. Stop trying to buy things or stop trying to change. Just keep doing what you're doing. That person who's looking for that type of guidance, they want help. They need help from a professional. It's tough to do that at scale via email and text. Someone's trying to make a decision and they need guidance on something complex, something that a good term to consider, to keep in mind is a considered purchase. When it's a considered purchase, which means I'm considering it, I'm deciding, there's also a qualifying process, right? I qualify or I don't qualify. And if I do qualify, what are my options? And then which option should I go for, which makes the most sense for me or for my business or the company I work at, then that takes interaction with another human. Yes, you could do it via email. You could go back and forth for days and try to, you know, have a dialogue. You could do that via text, go back and forth and just go back and forth and just kind of answer everything. Here's the thing, two main things to keep in mind, email and SMS texting. Chat, online chat, none of that was designed for a conversation. Let me say that again. Email, SMS, chat dialogues, that was not designed for a conversation between two people. It was designed for updates, for sharing information, for here's this thing, be aware of this. I have a question, what about this? But not conversations. Conversations are complex for many different reasons. One is that most of our communication as humans is nonverbal, right? There is body language, there's facial expressions, there's tone. Everybody watching or listening to this knows what it's like to send an email, a text, or a chat, and then have someone respond in a way that doesn't make sense. They read your tone in your message different than you said it in your head, and then it got lost in translation, right? Then what happens is it sparks this miscommunication, which then either needs to be fixed or spirals out of control. And then it just makes everything more difficult. We as humans evolved, changed, adapted, overcame, grew, made ourselves successful as a species well before emails, texts, and chats, right? Even cave paintings weren't meant for a conversation. It was to tell a story, right? And we think about it, that's where people miss the mark in this day and age in general with communication, but then also from a sales perspective, is they're trying to sell, they're trying to do a full conversation with somebody via a medium that was never designed for a conversation in a way that humans can't handle having an actual full conversation with all of the nuances. When you have a question, you want to get that answer. And then the tone is important. How someone says it, how you feel, if do they care about you or not? And you can fill in with a lot of emojis, but then that just gets kind of messy and distracting if you try to cover all of the tone and all of the bases in your communication. You cannot, I learned this years and years ago, you cannot enroll via email. You have to do it over the phone, voice to voice, video, or in person, face to face. You cannot enroll via email and text. Now, what can you do? Well, you can move conversations forward. You can get it to the point where you're setting up a meeting. You can do some follow up, but don't rely on email and text to do your follow up and close your deals for you. Now, if someone's ready and they say, yeah, send over the contract, that's great. If they say, no, we're not sure, don't keep emailing and trying to do it that way. Why do people do this? Well, one is they're under the false guidance that they think that email and text or messaging, non-phone stuff is what people want and the best way to sell. Now, it might be what people want. Typically, it's they want that from a customer perspective because of A, they're busy and they think that's the best way to go. But B, they don't trust salespeople, and trying to engage with a salesperson via email makes it really easy to back out of the conversation, out of the deal, avoid the high pressure tactics of gross salespeople. And so they do that as a defense mechanism. You as a salesperson are trying to scale. You would like to close more deals. So you're going to send more emails and you're going to try to engage, but you don't realize what you're doing is actually engaging with someone who's using email as a defense mechanism against people like you that they're worried about. And so it's only making it worse. Got to have conversations. You got to move them forward. Be careful of how much you try to do. Now, sequences and things like that, where you're sending some emails and you're warming somebody up or you're sharing information, there's a balance for that. But again, keep in mind, emails will not close deals. Emails will not make you enrollments. They will not convert people into clients at scale. Some people who will buy that way, that's great, but not at scale. I promise you will not be able to enroll enough people to be successful if you have a considered purchase, unless you have like a crazy marketing budget and crazy technology, but still people want to have conversations. Think about this. How many people out there buying a home, let's say buying their first home, want to only do email and chat for their mortgage process, right? Not talking the house, the real estate. I'm talking about the mortgage. If you've never bought a house before, you've never got a loan, and it's all new and overwhelming, maybe scary. You've heard lots of different things. You want a guide. You want a professional that you can call and that you know is helping you out. Now, if you've done it many times, then you don't need to talk to somebody because it doesn't matter. You can do it via email, right? Like if you've gotten enough houses or enough loans, then it's just a commodity. And here's what I need and give me the options. Okay, great. Let's go. Like that's it. You know, if you've done it enough, but for most people, they haven't and they need to talk to someone. So just be mindful of that. Hopefully that helps some people out there. Again, I see this a lot where people are trying to leverage it. And there is some scalability. There's some like, okay, what can you do to email short of these phone calls? When in doubt, pick up the phone and call, use your emails to set the meetings, to set the phone call, to get them to call you, get off of email and text as quickly as possible. It's the number one advice, especially for the clients that I work with that are on like an omni-channel platform where there's email, there's chat, there's SMS, and an agent, a salesperson has got access to all of it. The key is always move yourself out of those mediums as soon as possible at the rate that the customer wants. Remember, you're there to serve them. You want to meet them where they want to be met. When do they want to be spoken with? If you want to do a call with them, don't expect you can call them at 10 a.m. They might be at work. When do they want to be communicated? How do they want to be communicated up to that point? And again, keep in mind, this is a big thing. This is where I see companies go wrong and salespeople go wrong. They think, all right, well, I'm just going to make it good for that customer and make sure that they, I meet them where they want to be met. So they want to do this via SMS. So this is great because I want to give that to them. I'm listening to what he said and meet them where they are. Again, remember, they're using that as a defense mechanism. Unless they're super busy, they're using it as a defense mechanism to protect themselves against what they think you are going to try to do. The more you feed into that, the more you text instead of talk to them, the more you are letting them control the game, and it is going to be tough for you to win. You will not win. Just keep that in mind. All right, here we go. Question number two. My prospect keeps telling me they do not have the budget. What should I do? Here's the first thing, and this is a fundamental truth. It's never about the money. It's always about the value, right? If somebody finds something valuable enough, they will find the money. Now, I've used different stories for different trainings that I do, but even just imagine this. What if I told you, if you could get me $5,000, I will get you $10,000 back? Right? Like, obviously, it would seem like there's a catch and it seems too good to be true. But what if that was the case? What if I said, you gave me $5,000, I will give you $10,000 back? Would you be able to find $5,000? Right? Typically, the answer is going to be yes. Obviously, you want to make sure it's a sure deal, but the answer is yes. Now, why would you not want to do that if you could find it? Well, because it seems too good to be true. You don't know if there is a return. You don't know if you trust that person. Trust me, if I say, hey, give me $5,000, I'll give you $10,000 back. That sounds like something that some prince from another country is emailing you about because they need to get their money out of a bank and blah, 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 right? Like, unfortunately, we've heard so many scams like that, that would seem too good to be true and something would be wrong with that scenario. So of course, you wouldn't want to do that. But it's the same principle when you're selling, because here's the thing. If you know you can help somebody and you know it's going to be valuable, you've understood what their issue is, you have diagnosed their current state and then where they want to go and what's in the way, and you've given them that prescription, you know it's valuable. There's some return on investment. And I talked about this in the past, where even if you're selling cars, there's a return on investment, whether it's safety, it's security, it's lower maintenance costs, it's ego, it's prestige, it's whatever. There's some kind of return on investment that's either tangible or intangible. And that's what you're selling. Why somebody would buy a Porsche versus a Toyota Corolla, they're both transportation. They both will get you from point A to point B, one maybe a bit faster. But what is that return on investment for a car like that, right? Or somebody's always had the goal, the dream, the vision. They had a Porsche poster on their wall as a kid and they've always wanted one. And for them, that makes them feel happy. What is that return on investment? That's what you're selling. You're selling the value. If you give me $5,000, I will give you $10,000 back, or whatever that is with your product or service that you're offering, that you're helping people. So the thing is there's always a return on investment that you're giving it. If they don't see that, if they don't want to move forward, or they say they don't have the budget, it means either you have failed to help them realize the return on investment and the value, or they don't trust you. That's it. It's those two things, right? Because if we look at it, there's always enough money. There's always money available. If something is an amazing opportunity, people will find the money. Even I'm thinking about business to business sales opportunities, right? I'm thinking about clients I have. I think about projects I'm working on with companies right now where they're selling into other organizations and getting this budget question, getting this budget kind of defense mode up relative to stuff that's being sold. And the thing is, I know that if the opportunity was worth it, that those companies would find the money. They would borrow the money. They would find more money. They would cancel some other stuff and reallocate those funds if it was worth it, right? If you came to them with an opportunity that was so valuable for them and it was so important to them, they would find a way. As individuals, as consumers, right? There's always a way to get more money. Now, people limit themselves. They say they can't do it. A lot of times it's because they don't want to do it. Again, if the value is there, the return on investment is there, it solves a serious problem. There's always a way to pay for it. So keep that in mind. If you're getting the budget issue, the budget stall, the budget objection, right? The deal killing budget issue is being thrown out there. A, they don't see the value, or the value isn't as good to them as you think it is, which means you haven't relayed the value or you have miscalculated the value. I see a lot of people in sales who think what they're selling is so amazing, everyone should want it. And that's not actually true. Some companies, some people could use it and others aren't, right? And again, I use this example a lot, but I'm thinking of the 18th CRM that's out there on the market that thinks it's amazing, that thinks it's solved the mystery of getting people to use CRMs. And it's not the case. CRMs all have the same pros and cons, suffer from the same issues of usability and adoption by teams. And so there's only so many new things out there, but that CRM company thinks it's so amazing. Everyone should want it. They think it's super valuable. And sometimes they're wrong, right? Sometimes they've missed the mark. Sometimes they've drank too much of their own Kool-Aid. And what they're offering is not as amazing to others as they think it is. And sometimes it is more valuable to others than you know, they're being led on by that customer. And it's just a matter of relaying it. Most of the time in that category that I see, it's because the salesperson hasn't dove deep enough in their diagnosis. They haven't asked enough questions. They haven't gone through what I call the empathy step enough to find out why that person or that company wants and needs exactly what is being sold. And then that's where the value is. And if you don't dig deep enough, you're just hoping. If you're hoping, you're going to read from the brochure and give the facts and the figures and tell why everyone else wants it, but that person's not going to see the value for them. That's one key there. Now, the other part, like I said, is one that they don't understand the value and you failed to relay that. The other part is they don't trust you. You might have or probably did make the mistake that a lot of salespeople do, which is where you've been talking about yourself. You've approached the whole conversation as the hero. You think everyone should want what you have and what your company has to offer. You think that you're there to save the day. And you forgot the main important rule is that everyone thinks they're the center of their own universe. Your customer thinks they're the hero of their story and you're supposed to be their guide. When you act like a hero against them, they think they're the hero. Then they make you either the sidekick or the villain and they don't trust you. They also lump you in as salespeople, which they don't trust generally because they know what you're out for, which is a commission based on what you sell or whatever it is. And so they think you only care about yourself, especially when you approach it like a hero, telling you change that. You'll change a lot of it. People will trust you more when you don't make it about yourself and you make it about them. They'll trust you. And then when you tell them this is valuable, here is why you need to go find $5,000, right? We need to get you into this event. We need to get you this thing. You need to buy this software. I need to help you get into this program, whatever that is. Like now you mean it because they trust you. If you did the process out of order, and you go for the trust early on because you think you're a hero, they're not going to listen to you. When you get to the pricing, to the value, they just think you're selling them something because you think you should be selling it to them and you don't really care about them. And you will always have budget and price issues. All right, so that's the official answer I have for this. Now, here's the secondary answer for your prospects keep telling you they don't have the budget. What should I do? Sometimes in life, people don't have the money. Sometimes it's not responsible for them to do it. And again, I know I just went on a 10-minute conversation about why the budget is never the issue, why there's always a way to get money. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes there are programs, there are things out there where it doesn't make some sense for them to do it at this time with their budget, right? Where they've extended themselves in a lot of different ways and adding one more thing or paying for one more thing while they could allocate the money, it's just going to set them up for failure because they also don't have the resources, right? Because it's also budget is both money and time. Money is the part that pays for it, but then they have to do something with whatever they're buying. And so sometimes it's just not the right time. Sometimes it is about the budget. Sometimes companies in particular have set their budget up, and to make a change, it better be amazing. And most things out there aren't so amazing that somebody would stretch their budget or change their budget or allocate different things. If you have something that amazing, go for it, right? You probably already know that you do. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with budget cycles. You're going to have to plan ahead. And this is where weeks and weeks ago, I talked about controlling your sales day and how it's important for you to always be working both in now and then in the future and making those phone calls and also planting those seeds and building that pipeline, because that person who says they don't have a budget now, say, call us in the fourth quarter. Great. Now you're planting seeds in the fourth quarter. Now it's going to be a little easier for you to hit your numbers then, when it's also the right time for your customer. There is a delicate balance between pushing someone past the budget objection because they don't trust you or because they don't trust that it's actually going to be valuable, and you just need to persuade them a little bit better because you know now is the right time, versus not pushing them too hard, not making them feel like you only care about yourself, and then letting them allocate the budget at the right time. So fine balance. It's really tough from a sales management leadership perspective to be able to coach and then listen to calls or meetings and then manage and help people who might not be tuned in understand that balance, right? When somebody says, we don't have the budget, and that's a BS excuse because they're trying to blow you off because they don't trust you or they don't like you or they don't think it's valuable and you messed up and you need to try harder or get more training, right? Or when that prospective client says they don't have the budget, and with empathy and understanding, the best thing to do is set up a time to call them back at a different time, to follow up, to send them an email. But remember, always move to phone calls and meetings, but with empathy, right? I totally understand. You're right. It would be, right? And that's a tough one to coach and train. That one just comes from years of experience and years of listening and being very careful in both listening and picking up what's said and not said, and then also having a process that sets it up where if somebody does say budget, you know that is okay as an answer to accept. Problem is, most salespeople have a broke process or no process. They're just shooting from the hip, or they're making themselves the hero. And then they get this kind of response all the time. And they think the problem is the pricing. They think the problem is the customer. They think the problem is the budget. The problem is them. The problem is you, if that's what you're doing in a sales role, because you're not setting that customer up for success mentally in what they need and want from you as a professional. And you're missing the mark in what they want. Again, they want a guide. They want wisdom, right? Like I put in my book, this quote from Miles Kington is, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad, right? Your customer, your potential customers know what their issues are. They kind of know what they need. They kind of know what they want. They know some of the different things, right? They know that tomato is a fruit. They know that avocado is a fruit because it's got a seed in it, right? What they're looking for is for you as a professional to help them know, what should I put tomatoes in and what should I not put tomatoes in, right? That's what they're looking at. Super simple example, but it's so applicable. It's so true, because so many people in sales are trying to be the hero and just do get everyone to do what they think they should do, instead of remembering that other person cares about themselves first and foremost, and way more than they care about you and what you think of you. And they want you to be a guide. And then you can help them trust you. Then you can share what amazing stuff you do and why customers choose you, or why people, companies choose to work with you. And then you can help move them forward. It's why I designed the Authentic Persuasion Pathway, because that will be the guide that you need to be their guide. So hopefully that helped as far as when you're dealing with that budget response and identifying, is it them? Is it me? right? Because sometimes it's not you, it's me, is the best thing a salesperson can say, which is, oh, wait, that wasn't the prospect. That was me. I messed that up from a sales perspective. How can I get better so I can just keep moving forward and close more deals, help more people, be of more service, and then ultimately make more money, right? So that is a big key. All right, I am going to stop there. We're at 30 minutes right now. Hopefully some great answers and some value for people tuning in live or on the replays for these two questions, right? Selling via email and text, how to deal with the budget. Again, as promised in the beginning, my answers aren't necessarily short, but hopefully give you some good context of why it's important to shift what you do, why to look at it, how you look at it, not just be on autopilot, but just take a different approach and have different conversations and see your role as something different. Again, if you are on Facebook, if you're on LinkedIn, if you're on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button, thumbs up button, whatever is available. Also leave a comment. If there's anything in here that was valuable that you got that you're going to use, leave a comment because that I love hearing that. And then also it just shows other people this kind of content more and more. One of my biggest things in the community of other sales trainers, coaches, and professionals I associate with is to get more of this out there, right? Flood people, especially in sales and business leaders running sales teams, with more of this kind of content and less of the boiler room, less of the, hey, I made a million cold calls and here's what I learned by my scorched earth method. Like less of that and more about helping you be what customers want and need. And so I appreciate you being here. If you're listening to the podcast, thanks for tuning in there. Make sure to leave a rating if you can, leave a review. If you're not listening to the podcast, make sure to check it out 5 days a week, from guest episodes to a replay of this to solo episodes to clip highlight show of past content. So 5 days a week, short episodes to long episodes. It's all in there in a wide range. But that's it. Thank you everyone for tuning in. I appreciate you being part of this journey and my journey of helping shift sales from something that's a dirty word to something that the world trusts and respects. Also, because again, I want to keep you from being an order taker, helping you close more deals and make more money in a way that's serving you and your customers. Until next time, thanks for helping me fill the world with authentic persuaders.